sick. I'm not moving.
I'd like to call us to order, and I'm Councilwoman Lisa Diller. We have with us President Bullock, Councilmembers Kilpatrick, Shelton, Bell, Street, Smiley, Cartier, and my legislative aide for the 5th District, Susan Moore. This is her first community service meeting, so we'll all be nice to her.
All?
Yeah, I know not you.
Holding us in high
esteem. Yes.
I'm asking for a waiver.
Yes, I'm following President Bullock's lead in trying to hold us to a high standard.
That's sunsetting.
Okay. Do we have a motion to...
Motion to approve the minutes of previous meeting.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. I'd like to recognize Councilman Retta. And Mr. Mattis, would you like to join us at the table for the review of the Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program?
Well, actually, I'll make this brief on my part. I'm introducing Rob Rizzo of our staff, who's going to do the presentation of the Section 8 Housing Voucher Choice Program. So if I could, Rob Rizzo, who is our Section 8 administrator, we'll take it from here.
Okay. Great, thanks. Do you want to stand here, or?
Oh, I guess I have to flip the couple.
You have to flip the, you have to do PowerPoint, okay. Thank you.
Just show me which button I'm on that side. Okay. Basically, this is to update our administrative plan. What an administrative plan is establishes the policies and procedures for carrying out the Section 8 program in a manner consistent with HUD requirements. HUD gives us a certain guideline or rules that we need to follow. So this admin plan is set forth to define Newcastle County's public housing policies for the operation of the housing program in context of federal laws and regulations. Each PHA must have an admin plan. So we have an admin plan. Wilmington Housing Authority has their own admin plan. Newark Housing Authority, et cetera, et cetera. And it contains a list of regulations, HUD regulations, of what must be covered by the administrative plan. Why the update? Our last comprehensive admin plan was in 2005. Since 2005, there have been little tweaks and adjustments made by HUD, which we adopt during our annual plan. So this is just one way to revamp the book. Otherwise, we're walking around with a book with 8 different stickies on it and the whole 9 yards. So this is just to bring us up to speed comprehensively. The project of doing this was done by the staff members. These are our daily users, the people who administer the program to our clients. So we would have a review of the chapters during our staff meetings. So basically, they're everyday users reviewing policy for better methods and practicality for us and the clients.
Just a housekeeping detail. We've been joined by Councilman Hollins and also Mr. Winkler, who's representing Councilman Warner.
General areas of change, just to give you some examples. One area of change were bedroom assignments. For example, we have now one bedroom assigned per 2 people, except for persons of the opposite sex.
Oh, that's where my wife got that from.
Other than spousal relationships and children age 6 or older. Another area of change was recertification by mail. Every year our clients need to bring in documentations to prove that they still need the voucher. So trying to save them time, money, effort, time away from their job, we started a pilot program back in the summer of 2012 to allow our clients to mail this information in as opposed to coming in and wasting their time, if you will. So we've had about a 92% success rate in this venture. So we're real happy with it. For the 8% that didn't make the grade or the cut, they still came in and provided us with whatever documentation was missing. Another one is income verification. HUD has become very adept now through electronic means of keeping up with income in regards to It's hooked up to Social Security. So if we run a query, we'll be able to see what a client has earned for the last quarter. And it affects twofold. One is we can find out if the client has amnesia and forgot to tell us about a job that they have, or also it will bear out what they're telling us, where they may not need to bring in any more documentation to prove that they have this information. The Violence Against Women Act, and that was adopted, I think, 4 years ago, and was an automatic adoption because it was federal level. A tenant preference we also changed, and that allows a tenant to, if they want to, bring their stove or refrigerator into a unit in lieu of using the landlord's, and also in some regards in an inspection. The best example I can think of, by code, hot water has to be on the left-hand side. But this person's been living in this unit for 5 years, and they say, hey, you know what? I want it on the right-hand side because I'm used to it. I don't want to make a mistake and have it too hot. So there are tenant preferences that can actually circumvent the code. Additional local requirements. We realize that although we're working out of the 2003 International Property Maintenance Code, we try and we inspect to the same standards that our code enforcement does. And code enforcement had adopted Chapter 7 out of the Newcastle County Code, and we never picked up the fact that we had not adopted that as well. So we had to add that to this plan.
We've been joined by Councilman Powers.
Thanks.
And this is the chronology of the public review. On March 19th, we held a meeting for the Residential Advisory Board, which are, it's comprised of residents, people who actually are subjected to the rules and regulations, and held that meeting on the 19th, and they offered, they were all good with it. April 9th, we're going to have it available for public viewing at the Gilliam Building at the Multipurpose Room, and it will be available for a month for public view. We're going to post it online in the draft format, so it can be viewed online. We also will provide a copy for the council's receptionist as well, and we'll have a copy on display in our lobby. If and when it is approved, then the 15th we will submit to HUD for approval, and then once it's approved by HUD, we will display it online in its finalized version. Okay, any questions? We're happy to answer them. Yes, sir.
Can, at some point in time, that be mailed, I get a copy of what it actually says now versus what it's going to say?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Mattis.
Yep. I want to go back to the
Would you
mail.
Just identify yourself for the minutes?
Oh, certainly. Alan Mattis, General Manager of Community Services. I just wanted to elaborate a bit more on what Mr. Rizzo was saying about those individuals that have trouble getting information in, that we've even instituted a policy that if an individual is unable to physically get the information back to us, we'll go out and pick it up. We'll make arrangements to go out and actually take the information in their residence if we need to. And we also are toying with the idea of including self-addressed stamped envelopes to make it even that much easier, federal funds, to make it even that much easier for the information to get back into our offices. The bottom line is we do not want to miss anybody because of procedural paperwork. So we're trying different different things to see how it works to get that, you know, percentage up to 100. And I just want to compliment Mr. Rizzo on the job he does. It's at best a difficult job in difficult times. If I could elaborate just for a second on Section 8. Once again, we've got a little more clarification. We have about a 5.1% hit coming on our funding. And our admin funding has dropped to 69 cents on the dollar. So basically what we've done is frozen all, or unfunded all the vacant positions. We've pretty much cut it back to bare bones to keep the program working. So it's a challenge to the staff. These really are difficult times for federal housing. So that said, no one's going to lose their voucher. And unfortunately, no one's coming off that waiting list either. So that's, as you know, as much as we do right now, as of today.
We've been joined by Councilman Tackett, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Mr. Mattis, I just want to say congratulations to you and your staff. I've only been on this council 2 years, and Marcus Henry was in your position during those 2 years, and I thought that he did a great job, and I was very sad when I thought that he was leaving this position, because I knew very little about this part of government, learned a lot when he was here, and understanding, you know, that we have changes in administration, and I just didn't know what we would, who we would be getting in this department as a department head. But I've been very impressed. I want to thank you and your staff. I don't see that we have missed a beat in changing from one administration to another, one general manager to another here. And I think your staff has done a wonderful job keeping up with funding that other municipalities have not been able to take on, and you have continued to take that money and meet all of the goals and all of the deadlines. So I just personally want to say thank you. It's very refreshing to see that we're just moving along in this department.
I think you hit a key point. Thank you very much. It's a staffing. Mr. Henry, I consider my friend, and I've been following in his shoes for a number of years now. They honestly were big shoes to fill. He's a very knowledgeable and a very experienced individual, and it certainly is intimidating, not only to enter an agency such as this, an organization that has such a great reputation, which it really does, but to follow such an experienced individual. But I've been very fortunate to have staff like Mr. Rizzo and Ms. Casey.
Well, I think we just kind of threw you in here. You came and sat in the first meeting. Nobody introduced you. Who is that man? Should we be talking to him?
That's all right. It seems to have worked out. But like I said, I've been very fortunate. All of you have been very accommodating. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to sanction the comments by Councilwoman Kilpatrick, because we were a little concerned when we realized that we were losing our previous general manager. And when I saw his name, I knew Alan from some years back. So it gave me some degree of comfort. But also I want to compliment you for the job that you are doing and the sensitivity that you're showing toward a very vulnerable population. So I don't want you to think that somehow we're not noticing that, you know, we're still heading in the right direction, and that from the private conversations that we have had from the very beginning, I feel comfortable that Alan cared as much as I care about the populations that are most needed in Newcastle County.
Mr. Tackett?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, to Alan, I just you know, I want to touch quickly on you know, two key words you said. You know, my staff. You know, obviously, community services is just a phenomenal, you know, department within Newcastle County. The knowledge and expertise that the staff has and continues to exercise and administer is nothing short of 100% value to these residents in Newcastle County. You really reach down to the ones that really need the most help. And you are continuously cut each year, you know, by the federal government more and more, but you somehow seem to continue to do more and more, and you should receive nothing but kudos on that. You know, members of your staff, you know, Mr. Rizzo, you know, Carrie Casey, those individuals, the knowledge that they have is just unbelievable, and the dedication, you know, you see them when they come and present to us and talk to us, there's a passion there in the job that they do. You know,
there is. I mean, and I've worked in a number of housing agencies, mm-hmm. and they truly are one of the ones that have been actually care. They so really do care.
Just a public thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Bell?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess kind of relating back to one of your comments was about vacancies mm-hmm. and unfunded positions mm-hmm. that you're talking about, our own personnel?
Personnel, yes.
Okay. Are any of them positions filled now, and are we losing any of those positions?
No, we're not
funding.
All filled positions will remain filled.
Okay.
All vacant positions that are funded but not filled probably would be unfunded in order to save money. meaning we won't fill them.
Okay. And I guess that's where I want to take that, is that I know we're going to have budget deliberations and take a look at all the different departments. I don't see a difference in the importance of community services any less than public safety or any other department. I mean, this is a tremendous customer service, citizen service type related department. And I, for one, am very concerned that you have the proper staffing to do the job. Because as we've reviewed time and time again of literally millions of dollars that come to this county, and responsible to maintain them, to report, to do these programs successfully, if positions were funded with the intent of filling them, and now we're unfunding them, even though they're still in the books, I just offer some concern from a standpoint that I think that we all want to make sure you have the number of positions to more than adequately do the job, but to be able to fulfill and do the great job that community services done in the past and currently. And like I say, I for one, do not want to look at community services being any less important. In fact, it's more important in many ways than some of the services we provide. So want to make sure that you've got the right amount of folks. So.
And unfortunately, you know, we live and breathe at the hands of the federal fund. So.
Mm-hmm. But are they all federally funded, or are they?
For the most part, yeah.
They're federally funded.
All right.
That's what I wanted to clarify. Yeah. That's the vacancies, the one the federal admin dollars are going away.
Yeah.
That's
what
So these are clearly federal funds
and
that are affecting.
You know, you can play a little bit with federal and, you know, non-federally funded individuals. Mm-hmm. For the most part, though, these individuals are federally funded. And they're doing a Herculean job because they're typically now doing you're getting a twofer.
But do we lose any of those folks because of federal funding? We don't.
No.
That's what I want to know.
No.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And thank you for the job you're doing. Thank you and your folks.
Mr. Cartier?
Yeah, thank you. No, I just want to also recognize the diversity of the impacts and, you know, support provided by, to enhance the quality of life of Newcastle County citizens provided by this department. I mean, it literally does Section 8 vouchers, right? It was administered the NSP federal, you know, neighborhood stabilization funds, the program libraries. I mean, on and on. There's all kinds of things that go on in community services that are critical to the residents of the county. And I guess, you know, just to bear in mind the fact, the figure that I have in my head is that about $1.7 million in salaries in this department is come through federal HUD funds. So we have a significant salary overhead that, unfortunately, you know, it's being consistently cut over time. Now we're with the administration of the HUD funded voucher program, where it's 69%.
Well, our admin money is at 69%.
69 admin money.
We get 69 cents on an authorized dollar. So they're saying, you know.
And they don't cover pension in that. Healthcare.
It's
just strict dollars.
Salaries, you know, salaries and well, yeah, they're covering our support costs, but there's very little. There's really, you know, no wiggle room there. We basically, you know, put that down to the point where we literally have one person doing the job of two. Literally, I mean, we constantly throw that around. I want to thank you for doing a great job. You're doing the job of two, three people. Now, literally, I have one person doing the job of two. And in order to keep morale up, because, you know, it's a hard time. And you can't just say, look, be thankful you have a job. I mean, it's more than that. It really is. I mean, when you're putting out that kind of effort and maintaining a positive attitude, because you're getting barraged daily by individuals with, you know, questions and, you know, concerns and things of this nature, it's a Herculean effort on your part. It really is.
And it's a 140-person department, is that correct?
Yes.
Small division.
Small.
But carrying a heavy... heavy burden.
I mean, it's you know, and to get heavier because we're looking at new areas to really get into and try to make a difference. You know, you're aware of what we want to do in Edgemore. We want to get into areas on Route 9 and see if we can make a difference down there. So we're trying to parlay as much as we can as far as funding we get and maybe state funding and other grants that might be available to cobble together these programs that help individuals that really haven't received the necessary attention that they deserve.
And I want to point out as well the quality of the administration of all these federal funds. In my tenure here, I don't believe they've ever had any findings of...
No, we've always been ranked one of the highest.
Out of the HUD auditing process.
Carrie and her staff have done a tremendous job of maintaining just nothing but the highest quality of standard as performance goes. And if any work with federal programs, you know, that's not an easy thing to do.
Any other questions for Mr. Mattis or Mr. Rizzo? President Bullock.
Mr. Mattis, great job. You're doing a great job. Mr. Rizzo, appreciate your presentation. Could you give us an idea of where the majority of Section 8 recipients throughout the county is spread out, this district, that district?
I'd have to locales. Rob, do you want to?
I would say that it's pretty dispersed. It is dispersed fairly well. There are some heavier concentrations, but through northern Newcastle County, of course, realizing the city of Wilmington doesn't count because of their own housing, it is dispersed fairly well, but there are some areas that are more heavily concentrated than others.
Like?
I would say there are some heavy concentrations in the Claymont area, Bear area, and Newark area.
Now, the other thing we're doing, sir, is there was just a recent sweep of Red Clay Apartments. And if we're finding that landlords are not keeping up with their end of the bargain, and it used to be, I think, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, we get into one of our units, and the unit's fine, and it passes, but the rest of the project is not up to code. We're talking about authorizing moving vouchers for our clients so that they aren't subjected to this kind of neglect by absentee landlords. This is a situation where the landlord is actually the owner's in Hackensack, New Jersey, and care less about this place. So we want to make sure that there's a quality of life afforded our voucher holders where they aren't forced to stay in a apartment complex where the owner isn't maintaining. So, you know, we're talking about, look, if it's that bad, we'll get you out of there and get you someplace, because there's a lot of landlords now that are willing to accept Section 8 vouchers who are offering a good product. And that's what we want, the best of both worlds, good tenants and good product.
Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Alan, just quickly, and not a full-blown discussion, but you had touched on this, and I knew that sweep had happened because it actually took all the code out to do it. But you were out there also, so
no,
what?
I wasn't. Was,
oh, okay, you just mentioned
and,
it. Okay.
Code enforcement.
Okay. I didn't know if you went out just to inspect the Section 8 vouchers and land use was doing everything
we're
else.
Actually, we come behind that if we can get the pressure on the landlords to the point where they're disgusted and they want to get out, we think we can put together transactions to get new landlords to buy the project and turn it around, which, you know, impacts all of us in a positive way. There's another one in Edgemoor that we'd love to get out of the hands of the current owner and into someone else's hand. It's just, you know, it's a cancer on our neighborhoods. And the owner just doesn't care. They just don't care, and they have deep pockets that we can threaten them with court, and they just don't care because they can continue to pay the attorneys to do this. And it's a Herculean effort on everybody's part. It's going to be a county-wide effort to get this turned around.
Any further questions before we move to other? All right, anything under other? Mr. Smiley.
Councilwoman Diller, members of council, I appreciate your latitude on this. I was going to wait to the exec meeting, but given the size of the agenda, that won't work. I became aware of a situation about 10 minutes at 3, and for the record, it does not involve my legislative aide. This council enacted a rule, and I'll just read the one end of it. At 4.3 compensatory time, it's a council rule. We put it in, and no time shall accrual of compensatory time exceed 70 hours. That's a comp time. We've got some staff that's up against this right now. I would ask that council consider suspending the enforcement of that one part of the provision until such time as it can be placed on the personnel committee and be reevaluated and brought back before council.
Second.
Yeah.
What is it?
Currently,
70 hours.
Currently, a staff can't exceed 70 hours of conduct. If they got 70 and then you want them to go to a meeting, they either can't go to the meeting or they're going to go and not collect comp.
that's something we put in place. Apparently, there's an issue that's getting up against. I'd like to just suspend the enforcement of the rule so that we're not penalizing the staff that's up against it right now, place it on the personnel committee, and let's reevaluate what we've done, see where it goes, and bring it back before council.
So second. We have a motion and a second. All those
2 seconds.
Yeah. 2 seconds. Okay.
One more.
I think 2 seconds are quite enough. Thank you.
It's more than I'll get on the floor of council.
I'm sure that's true, Councilman Smiley. All right. Any discussion on the motion?
70.25, and she's taken off.
President Bullock.
I mean, we go every freaking night at a week.
Council. Carol Dillon, Council. I apologize that didn't hear the whole discussion here, but this isn't the personnel committee. I just wanted to bring that up.
Oh, no.
Is this up under other? Is it on
yes.
This is brought up under other.
You want me to restate?
No,
you heard it?
I thought I heard you mention personnel manual, and I'm not sure that can be suspended by a motion either. I have to go check that.
So we're in suspension about the suspension until council to council returns. Can we put this on hold and go to public comment?
Fine with me.
So, because if we do have members of the public here, any public comment?
She uses time. She's
okay. So then we can go back to other when council to council do the return.
Tell you what, we have a motion, we have a second.
Right.
Can I modify the motion that we suspend the enforcement of that rule and place on a personnel committee subject to the approval of the county attorney? If she comes back and says we can't do it,
it goes away.
Then it goes away, but we'll still put the issue on the personnel committee for a future date.
Second.
Are you going to wait?
I didn't know.
I didn't know.
Main motion.
I think because
of
Carol,
so
she's back.
I have a question. Okay.
Well, she can answer this. It's
the personnel committee, not the personnel.
Right. Or the executive committee.
It's just going to go in your committee.
Yeah.
Oh, you can do that.
It's fine. It's me.
It's
Tim can handle it.
Thank you. You should be with her as a co-chair.
So we really have two issues.
A lot to say.
Last sentence of 4.3.
Good, Madam Chair. Thank you.
I'm waiting until she makes a decision.
Do farmers get comp time?
I'm getting too confused.
I work every day, every hour of the day. That's called sleep, isn't it?
Yeah.
It states, I mean, first of all, I don't think that I would respectfully suggest that perhaps the executive committee would be a more appropriate place other than the community services committee to discuss this issue.
Bring it up under other.
It states that the council reserves the right to add to, delete from, or modify policy or benefits described herein at any time except for the above preamble.
Okay. So we can move forward. I think the concern is we already have 11 agenda items on the executive committee meeting, and that was why it was brought here.
Policies, and let me just go on to state, and remember we do have the Freedom of Information Act, and I'm not going to get
Let me clarify. I became aware of it 10 minutes to 3. That's what was said. Okay? I went on the record. It was 10 minutes to 3. I wasn't aware of it either. So that's why it's not on an agenda.
Policies and procedures are subject to revision upon a majority agreement of council in writing or by a majority vote by council at any regular or committee meeting of the Cassa County Council.
So this is a committee meeting.
We're good.
Okay.
So does that mean you want to just do the amendment or
motion to suspend the enforcement of the last sentence of 4.3 until such time as it's placed on a personnel committee, evaluated and brought back before council.
And we've had a second.
So we can just vote on it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. All right. The motion passes. All right.
Goes over to your shop.
So we will expect a discussion in the next personnel committee. Anything? We've already been through public comment. Do I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Comes executive.
We can save this in time.